Interesting day to you on Head Games Radio. We're going to have Peter Costas from CBS Golf, the Swing Meister, tell us about the AP Athlete of the Year, Tiger Woods, who beat out LaDainian Tomlinson, Len Dawson. LaDainian Tomlinson, probably your pick for Player of the Year?
He is in football, that's for sure. He and Drew Brees, I think, are the two guys that in football that are so deserving. But when you talk about a guy dominating a sport, Tiger Woods is all by himself.
Okay, well, let's talk about that game in the same division. Denver having to eke out a win because of a botched extra point. Cincinnati coming from behind. Carson Palmer fresh from a Pro Bowl selection, leading them down. They score the touchdown with 41 seconds left. How big of a disappointment? How much does that impede Cincinnati's confidence?
You're asking me. Now, I was a holder for 19 years. Let me ask you, Nick, could that ball have been caught and put down?
It could have been caught. It could definitely have been caught. The question is, would the kicker have been able to slow down his...
I would have had that ball have been down. Because as a holder, you anticipate the worst. And the worst is high and away from you, and that's what that thing was. He got his hands on it. He just wasn't able to control it. You know, that's why sometimes I wonder why a quarterback isn't there holding for the kicker. Or the backup quarterback, somebody who's accustomed to handling the ball a great deal of the time. But that was such a shame to fight like that, to the game being decided on a botched snap and hold for the kicker. So, and that was an extra point. I mean, I don't know. It looked like he put a lot of zip on it, that he didn't necessarily have to put a lot of zip on that snap.
Well, one of the things, of course, Larry Weisman, you know that there's a new rule this year that those poor little quarterbacks get to spending the night before the game with the football so that they're nice and cushy for them and they don't slip out of their hands. But the actual kicking balls are much more slippery. So, you know, that could be part of it.
Yeah, you know, and again, as Len was saying, the snap was not good. It had quite a bit of wobble to it and was high and away. And just from having seen it, you know, a couple of times on television, it looked like even had he jumped across and pulled it down, I don't know how you would have got a kick out of that anyway, but maybe if you can field the snap, you've got a chance at throwing it into the end zone and hoping for something. But, you know, to lose a game where you should have had a tie and a chance to win it overtime and with really no margin to fool around with the record that the Bengals have, this could be devastating.
Yeah, well, last night, Joe Theismann said, why on earth do they have a guy that's questionable at holder when you can have a backup quarterback? And the refrain over and over again from coaches, we don't want the quarterback to be hurt. Hey, Len, you're trading the chance at real points. You're trading the chance at securing victory for the possibility. And I don't ever remember, do you remember any holder being injured because of somebody running into him during a game?
No, I held for 19 years.
Ever.
I held for 19 years. I never got touched. They're not going after the holder. They're going after in front of the ball where he's kicking the thing. He's flying by the holder. But, you know, you just want somebody in there. I felt very comfortable holding because I was playing and I was accustomed to handling the football. And fortunately, I had an excellent snapper in Bobby Bell, who's a terrific snapper. But the thing is, as I said before, I always anticipated the worst. And if the worst didn't come, then it's a piece of cake. But if the worst comes, that you know that you're in position. And oftentimes I see, too, that when the guy is holding the ball, he's putting his finger down with the spot, and he puts his other hand up. But once the ball is snapped, you got to put both hands up. It's always been my contention that I'm going to give the spot, and I'm going to hit that spot pretty close to it. But I want both hands up so that I'm in position to move after that football if it's not a good snap. And so that was just my contention. I felt very comfortable doing that, my kickers had pretty good success because two of them, Lou Groza and Jan Stenner, are in the Hall of Fame.
And I wish you'd help for me then. Hey, you know, I kicked over 900 kicks in the NFL, and only one time was I run into, that was by the Dallas Cowboys, one time out of 900. Somebody came by with his shoulder pad and scraped my shin, never hurt in over 900 kicks, and yet some coaches are so worried about the holder being hurt, being a quarterback, that they have a guy, like a guy from Australia who plays Australian rules rugby, holding the ball. That's too bad. And it's something that really coaches need to take a look at. Guys, before I let you go, Larry Weisman, I wanted to talk about this Atlanta Falcons deal with Michael Vick. It's interesting to use, as we do now, Vince Young as an example of a quarterback that's coming on, that's getting his sense. And how much of it has been a distraction when the head coach is talking about coaching for his old college team?
Yeah, that was quite a gaffe by Jim Mora to bring up his interest, which he says now was a joke. You know, and if that was a joke, then he and John Kerry ought to get together and tell jokes, because neither one of them is very funny. It is a distraction. Jim Mora has created problems for himself that he didn't need to create. Michael Vick has created problems for the both of them that he didn't need to create. And what you have there is a player who needs coaching and rejects it, and a coach who doesn't seem to be entirely organized enough to supply the coaching that his player is inclined to reject.
Len, final comments from you before we let you go, my friend.
Well, he talked about he was being funny. I've always said that dying is easy. Comedy is tough, Nick. So don't be a comedian. Be a coach.
Ask Kramer. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. Appreciate it. Len, you get better. Larry Weissman, you're the best, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you,
guys. Check out Larry Weissman in USA Today. Len Dawson, Channel 9, ABC in Kansas City. We're joined by Peter Costas, one of the best announcers in golf, to talk about, oh, my God, what a surprise, the AP Athlete of the Year over LaDainian Tomlinson, Tiger Woods. Thanks for joining us, Peter.
You got it, say, Nick.
Was this a no-brainer?
I don't think it was the right move. I thought Roger Federer had a better year than either LaDainian or Tiger.
Really? Why?
I mean, I think he lost five matches in I don't know how many years now. I mean, he's in a sport, unfortunately, and he's the kind of personality that doesn't get much attention. And so people don't really give him the due that I think he deserves. Clearly, LaDainian has had a tremendous year, and that doesn't mean that Tiger hasn't had a phenomenal year as well. I just think Tiger's more visible. I think Tiger has a little bit more personality than Federer, and as a consequence, I think most of those things end up being kind of like a validation of a player's personality and likability.
You know, I'm looking at this list here. Tomlinson got 230 votes just behind Tiger. Roger Federer got 110 votes. At the bottom of the list, number 9, is Floyd Landis. How many votes would he have gotten if they had gotten the original drug test right?
Well, again, when you have Lance Armstrong doing what he did for a while, and then you have the drug test associated with Landis, I mean, he's not going to be a popular figure even if he wins the next four or five Tour de France's. So, again, it's a popularity contest to a certain degree, and as such, I think he needs to work on his public persona. I mean, that's part of why people vote for people. They vote for the likability factor.
Yeah, he's not, personality-wise, he's not there yet, but pretty sad to see that ultimately it was a botched test. And you go to Federer, here's another thing I think shows a lot of guts on your part to give that vote to him, given that your allegiance to golf. But Federer is dealing with so much movement, so much risk of injury, that it really is a higher accomplishment from that sense, because it's not as if somebody's going to, you know, tackle Tiger Woods in the middle of the fairway.
Well, no, but I think, you know, and as I said before, and I continue to say it, Frank Trakinian, our old producer at CBS Sports, taught me this, that all comparisons are odious. Respect accomplishments for what they are and who made them, and don't try to make one better by making another one seem worse. Clearly, Tiger doesn't get hit by any linebackers. He doesn't have to run and chase down golf balls. But there are difficulties in the game of golf that tennis players don't face and football players don't face. They're all unique, and I think they all need to be respected for what they are and the accomplishments that they've made.
One of the things we talk about on this show, though, is it's one thing, as you know, when a Tiger Woods or whoever it is has that one good year. It's very different when every single year they expect you to be at the very top. That's a different level of pressure, and very few people can handle it. Ask Phil Mickelson.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Tiger's one of those elite athletes that has been able to do it, and so is Roger Federer. I think because they're individual sports, I think you have a little bit more control over your own destiny in terms of remaining at the top. I mean, there's no telling. that next year, you know, three of the offensive linemen on the Chargers might get injured, and LaDainian has nobody blocking for him. So it'd be more difficult for him in a team sport to stay on top on a consistent basis. There's much more. There are many more moving parts in that sport.
We hope to get Tiger on in the next few weeks. But to his credit, here's what he said. What he, i.e. Federer, has done in tennis, I think, is far greater than what I've done in golf. He's lost, what, 5 matches in 3 years? That's pretty good. Actually, it was 92-5 this year with 12 singles titles, including 3 of the top ones. So Tiger understands that what Federer accomplished, he was there in the front row when he won the U.S. Open. He understands that maybe Federer is the best choice.
Well, I mean, this is a case where Tiger and I think, agree completely, and that means absolutely no disrespect whatsoever to the accomplishments of Tiger Woods in the year 2006, especially when you consider, you know, the loss of his father and all of the other things that he had to overcome as well. I mean, it's just when you start trying to compare apples and oranges, sometimes a piece of fruit's going to fall from the tree and get bruised.
And also the length of careers, the window of a tennis player. Usually, once you cross that 30 years old barrier, it's pretty tough. Whereas in golf, we've had people like Nicklaus winning the Masters at, what, 46 or something?
Well, yeah, but and I do think that you're seeing that careers in all sports are being lengthened by virtue of nutrition and workout programs and the athletes being overall better conditioned and understanding better how to take care of their bodies. I mean, you got Randy Johnson still pitching at 43. You know, Nicklaus won at 46. You got tennis players that are staying a little bit longer. Although that's such a reactionary sport, and sometimes when you lose your reaction time, there's not much you can do about it. Father Time just beats you down there. But we'll see. I think Federer's accomplishments over the long haul are going to be phenomenal. Certainly comparable to Rod Laver and guys who came before him.
We're talking to Peter Kostas from CBS, the swing meister, if you will. And in our last couple minutes, Peter, let's talk about aging and what are the differences that you witness as a coach of the top performers in the world in golf and how they can compensate as they move into their 40s and even 50s. What are the differences? Is there an advantage in terms of experience, in terms of the mental faculty that allows an older player to override the physical shortcomings he begins to develop?
Well, you know, I've always maintained, Nick, that a 45-year-old can work out enough to get a 20-year-old body. You can keep yourself in pretty doggone good shape these days. But a 20-year-old can't get a 45-year-old mind. He can't acquire that experience just because he wants to. So I think one of the reasons you're seeing so many golfers in their mid-late 30s, early 40s having phenomenal success is because they have the experience. I mean, clearly, that's one of the reasons why Tiger is a much better golfer today than he was 10 years ago, is because he has so much more patience. He's much more at peace with himself. He's got the mental edge. He always had a little bit of a mental edge. I think his mental edge now is even more phenomenal. And when you combine it with the physique and the conditioning of his body, I look for him to dominate for years to come. So it's easier for the old guys to get a young body. It's not so easy for the young guys to get an old mind.
And, of course, Tiger gets to go home to his wife, which isn't a bad thing either.
No comment.
Peter Kostas from CBS. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
Thank you, sir. When we come back, final thoughts about aging. Certainly, Martina Navratilova, another accomplishment, the age of 50, winning a mixed doubles grand slam. Unbelievable. We'll be right back on Sports Byline's Head Games and Sirius.